Happy Wednesday, July the 18th, 2018. You're listening to the Grow Great Small Business Daily Brief, number 40, B2B sales, evangelism style. B2B isn't necessarily so different from B2C, but today let's talk about selling in the business-to-business space. One major distinction between B2C and B2B is the sales cycle and the need for relationship building. B2B is usually far less transactional than B2C. Takes longer to close the deal, and there may be many more influencers involved in the decision. It's usually more relationship-oriented to boot. B2B sales cycles can be extremely long, requiring patience and lots of follow-ups, lots of follow-through. There are tons of sales experts that you can follow. Many of them are quite good. I am especially fond of and enjoy the work of Jeffrey Gittomer. You can find him at buygittomer, that's G-I-T-O-M-E-R.com. His work is work that I have followed for the last 30-plus years. Did I ever tell you about the time I ran into him at the Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix? I was about to board a plane to leave. I was departing from Scottsdale as he was just arriving. And I saw him across the way. I approached him. I told him how big of a fan I was and how much I enjoyed his work. And I told him the absolute truth that his book, Customer Satisfaction is Worthless, Customer Loyalty is Priceless, that it was easily the book that I gifted the most. That was true then. And you know what? That is still true. I have no idea how many copies of that book I have purchased and given away, a bunch. We swapped business cards, we exchanged a few pleasantries, and we were off on our separate ways. I get back to Dallas, and 2 days later, a FedEx package arrives at my office, an autographed copy of Jeffrey's most recent book at the time. The man is prolific, but he long ago told the world that his secret to his ability to crank out books is while the rest of the world is becoming an expert at whatever popular TV show may be airing, he's writing. But the point is that Jeffrey, while in Arizona, had his office send me a copy of his most recent book via FedEx. He's a man who is not driven by transactions, even though buying a book is very transactional, and that's why I love him so and his work. I hate transactional selling. I used to hate it because I wasn't suited for it, but through the years I've learned to hate it because it just reeks of selfishness. Old school sales guys taught me very early on all the well-known and even some of the not so well-known tactics of the day. So I grew up in retail, taught by merchants, real merchants, operators. But old school guys, they leveraged something over all of the tactics, all of the strategies that was very real, where the rubber meets the road kind of honesty. If they stood toe-to-toe with you and they shook your hand, you could trust it. And as a teenager, it was puzzling to me because it didn't quite fit. I mean, one minute they're telling the prospect things that are not quite so accurate. But at the end of the deal, they're also shaking the customer's hand and telling them how they're going to stand behind it. And they would. And it's like there were two stages of the sales process for them. First, there was that say whatever you need to say to get them to buy. And second is the guarantee I'll take care of it. And they meant it. They meant both of them. Well, I quickly adapted to altering the first tactic to fit my personal beliefs and convictions. I would ask questions to figure out what the shopper needed to know in order to buy. Yeah, I'm looking for hot buttons. I'm looking for points of interest. I'm looking for features that they want, features that they're going to be willing to pay for. The word that always trumped it for me was congruency. I wanted the customer to buy what best fit their needs and their desires. Didn't matter what I wanted. I'm not the one doling out the cash to buy this thing. That made the second tactic super easy, standing behind it. Within a very short period of time in selling, I had figured out so many things. Chief among them, a sale isn't a sale if it doesn't stick. I didn't want any returns. I didn't want any complaints. Well, today nothing has changed. Apply those tactics in the B2B spaces, and I am prone to always, that's right, always, add another component. That component is evangelism. Many years ago, I studied call reluctance, largely because I suffered it. I've even done some call reluctance coaching. Now, I'm not your man if you're looking for specific sales coaching, even though I've done it for more than 30. Well, I've sold for more than 30 years. I haven't coached sales. Call reluctance is a booger bear that is made even more difficult when people don't really like or believe in what they're selling. And so my solution for call reluctance is pretty simple. Quit. Find something you love. Find something that you believe in. So this is where evangelism makes all the difference, and it's where today's culture is so much better than when my career started. Sharing stories is the way the world works today. It's attractive. It gets attention, largely because there are so many services and products today that didn't exist 18 months ago. And as we chase the technology, we have to be open to learning more, listening more, and being more curious about new things, things that we didn't have any prior knowledge of. But I don't care. I don't care if you're selling something unsexy and traditional. I don't care if you're selling something that is bleeding edge. Every product and service is benefited by an evangelist thrilled to find out how their thing can change your life. Evangelism starts with questions. Where's the prospect right now? What problems do they have? What solutions are they desperate to find? What do they like? What do they hate? It's not an interrogation, but it's a conversation with an aim, a purpose. To put the prospect at the forefront of everything. It's not about you. It's about them. Questions make that clear. Think of the stereotypical blind date where a guy is sitting across the table at a restaurant from his date. He's talking about himself, and he's talking more about himself. He's not asking the girl a single question. How do you suppose that's working out for him? Well, you know, it's not. Take the same couple. Now let's flip things. The guy's asking questions to find out more about her. He's listening to her answers. He's responding to her answers. His interest, his curiosity. It's apparent. He's interested in her. It's a completely different experience for both of them. It's better in every way. And you think it doesn't roll that way with your prospects? Oh, it does. And I'll go you one better. It separates you from the hucksters who live by the idiotic mantra, always be closing. You may as well adopt the philosophy, always be chasing your prospects away. Evangelism is driven by a few things. Let me give you six. One, belief. Belief in the service of the product. An intense belief that the thing can dramatically benefit the customer. Maybe it's life-changing in a small way. Maybe in a big way. The Peer Advantage by Bula Network is a new endeavor that I'm pursuing. I'm working to build two online virtual peer groups of small business owners from around the United States. 14 people. Are going to experience life-changing benefits. I have a very strong belief in it. And I know it will be perhaps the most important investment these business owners will make in themselves and their ability to take their companies to whole new levels of accomplishment. Why do it if I don't believe that strongly in it? Ditto for whatever you're selling. Two, value. My belief is driven by the same thing that drives all belief. If there's no value, then how can you believe in it? Okay, sure, you can believe in the compensation you're going to get for talking somebody into something, but that's not true value. I'm not focused on the return or the revenue that I get from launching the Peer Advantage by Bula Network. Now, it's important, but only in the sense that I need to be able to serve and keep on serving, and that means I need proper resources to deliver the value. You need that too. But first, you need to provide extraordinary value to your customers. Three, curiosity. And I'll put parenthetically here, interest in the prospect. Without curiosity to learn and to understand the prospect, sales evangelism style can't happen. This is closely aligned with point number two of value. Both are focused on the prospect and eventually the customer. They're just the opposite of traditional transactional selling. Questions are the tool. For curiosity. They display interest, genuine interest, and they help you understand, not with preconceived answers, but with honest understanding. Number four, education. It's show and tell time. Once we have a more clear understanding of our prospects, then now we can extend the courtesy to share with them our answers, our solutions to their problems. Not with an effort to close the deal, but with an effort to supply them with sufficient information so they can better decide for themselves. When we properly teach our prospects, we can serve them well, even if they don't buy from us. Education empowers prospects to do what I constantly am urging you to do. Figure it out for themselves. The alternative is to manipulate. Manipulation is where I win, you lose. Evangelism, we both win. Fifth, blatant honesty. I employ the adjective blatant because it works. Now, granted, it comes very easily and naturally for me. I can get to that third element, curiosity, and within a few questions that are answered, I can feel I'm not the right guy for this. And I don't hesitate to tell some prospects that in bold terms. It's not a tactic. It's just the truth. But part of my blatant honesty flows into this last element, number six, respect the prospect. They can decide for themselves. You're putting entirely too much pressure on yourself to assume that the sale will happen if you control things and that you'll lose it if you don't. Surrender the power of choice to the prospect. When you really feel respect for the prospect, they're going to feel it. They won't feel pressured. They'll relax. They'll be better able to decide what's best for them as they see it. And you can disagree with them all you want. And you can do that quietly or you can do that openly. Doesn't matter. It's their life. They want what they want. They need what they need. You need to respect them enough to accept their decision, whatever it may be. Be well, do good, grow great. The website is growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. See you tomorrow.